Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. We could say that 1,000 times and still not wear it out, because it is the anthem which all creation says over and over and over again, because it means life. It means hope. It means that we have overcome, not because we have done anything, but because he has done everything. And because he has been victorious, we share in that victory. And because of that, we have life. But the amazing thing is that we who are 2,000 years removed from all this have this benefit of the scriptures and 2,000 years of tradition and interpretation that tells us all of these, this wonderful history that we have. Because on this day 2,000 years ago, nobody got it. Nobody got it. The people who had been with him for 3 years, who had ministered with him, who had been with him, who were up on the mountain of transfiguration with him and seen him arrayed in glory, the people who had heard him say, listen, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be handed over to the hands of sinful men, and then they're going to kill me, and on the third day I'm going to rise from the dead. He went to Jerusalem, he was betrayed into the hands of sinful men, he died, and on day three they were like, oh, what are we going to do? Totally missed it. A bunch of women go to his grave, not looking for the fireworks and the glory. They're carrying the rest of the arrangements for the funeral rites. Now, this shows extreme dedication and maybe no common sense, because Pilate had ordered that the grave be sealed and guards be posted there. So they had got everything ready and they were all set, and they had no idea what they were going to do. Because they, I mean, what are they going to do? The grave is sealed, there's guards. What are they going to do? Please, Mr. Centurion, please let us in. Yeah, that'll work. But they go there. The guards are unconscious. The stone is rolled away. And the grave is empty. And they are awestruck. They are amazed. They have no idea what's going on. And while they're standing there completely amazed, two angels appear. And they say these incredibly powerful words, words that will echo through history. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. So powerful. Think about that. Why do you look for the living among the dead? In 1945, the close of World War II, there was a man named Bart Stearns. He was a Jew who was in the concentration camp at Auschwitz. And at the close of World War II, as the camp was about to be liberated, the Germans knew that the end was coming, and rather than just giving up decently, they grabbed as many Jews as they can and sent them on a death march. And Bart Stern was one of the few, the very few that managed to escape. It was a bit of a miracle. He managed to hide in his barracks. And when they went looking for him, they didn't see him. But as they scoured the camp looking for anyone, he hid in the one place that they knew that he knew that they wouldn't look. Because in the last days of that camp, in the last days of the war, supplies had been hard to come by. and things had begun to break down, and the crematoria had broken down. And so they'd stopped burning bodies. And so they had huge, open, mass graves. And he ran and hid in the graves. Because even as a Jew, he knew that you don't look for the living among the dead. Clever. Saved his life. Because the Germans scoured every part of that camp, looking for every Jew that they could find. And they didn't find him. And when the Americans got there, he came out of hiding. And he lived to tell his story. He's still alive today. He was just a child when the camp was liberated. Today, there's a whole lot of us who are looking for life among the dead. We're looking for our answers. We're looking for the secret of life among the dead. See, there's two paths that we can choose. We can choose what Jesus said when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever comes to me shall have eternal life." Or we can choose what the world gives us. What St. Paul says in Romans when he says, the wage of sin is death. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wage of sin is death. That's what the world has to offer. The wage of sin is death, but, Paul continues, the gift of God is eternal life. And Solomon, in Proverbs 14:12, it's also 16:25, by the way, says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. See, the world right now is dead. And it's begging for life. But it doesn't realize that. And it says, here's the answer. Come hang out with us. Stay with us. We have the answer. But the fact is, it doesn't really have the answer. The only answer is Jesus. Jesus is the only answer. Because Jesus overcame death. And whereas the dead are dead, Jesus goes to the dead and he says, Talitha kumi, little girl, rise up. He says, Lazarus, come out. And the little girl rises from the dead. And Lazarus shakes off his grave clothes and he comes out of the tomb.
Yes, Lord God.
Amen.
Yes.
The dead say, there's no problem with what you're doing. You're okay, you're fine, it's not a sin. What's sin? Sin, schmin. That's just idle tales. That should sound familiar. Heck, that's what the apostles said. But it's not idle tales. The only way we overcome death is by clinging to the truth. And yes, that's hard. Yes, that's challenging. Yes, that's countercultural. Yes, that's old-fashioned. But so is overcoming death in the grave. 2,000 years ago, that's what it took to roll a stone away and walk out. to have angels proclaiming, he's not here. He's risen. We're called to walk among the dead. We're called to go where they are. But we're not called to be like them. We're called to be part of him who says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means we have to cling to that way and that truth, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's hard, even when it's painful. Even when it means we have to do things differently. Even when it means we have to lose friends. Even when it means we have to call our friends out. Because that's what Jesus did. He called them out. He said, Talitha kumi. He said, Lazarus, come out. And they rose from the dead. He said, peace I leave with you, my own peace I give to you. Receive my spirit. And he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Easter is about resurrection. Easter is about overcoming death. And the world is full of it. One of the most ancient texts that we have outside of the Bible and Christianity is something called the Didache, the teaching of the 12. And it opens with a declaration that there are two paths that man can choose, the way of life and the way of death. We're called to make a choice. We're called to choose the way of life. And we can't look for that answer among the dead, because the only answer is found among he who lives forever and ever, because he overcame death and now he's seated at the right hand of God. And in him we find every answer. And the world knows him not, and it's our job to tell him, because he is the way, the truth, and the light. And so it's our job to first off respond. It's our job to first off hear him say, Talitha kumi, Lazarus, come out. To rise up, to shake off that grave clothes. To come out of the tomb and say, yes, Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life. To say, I will follow you, because you are the only way to have eternal life. And then having done so, it's our job to look at a world that's dying and to echo what we've heard and say, I've heard the call. And I want you to hear it. Because in the end, the resurrection is glorious. It's not an idle tale. It's something that is marvelous. It's something that's more glorious than anything we can ask or imagine. Because the only enemy that's ever truly to be feared, the only enemy that we can ever really worry about, is death. And he has overcome death. And because that enemy is overcome, we don't have anything to worry about. What can befall us? What can befall our family? If we're confident in the love of our God, we know we'll be reunited in eternity with our loving God, who's called us It's our job. Say, that stone's been rolled away. It's not an idle tale. There are answers. And you cannot look for the living among the dead. He is not among the dead any longer. He is risen. It's our job to walk among the dead and say, Lazarus, come out. Talitha kumi. Little girl, get up. It's our job to respond because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's our job to receive that, and having received it, to take it to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.